Today on the East Coast and the West Coast, longshore workers are fighting for a decent contract and to support, to defend the conditions that they have. In the Northwest, grain elevator workers are fighting for a decent contract and against a contract that was imposed by a company named EGT. In the East Coast, the ILA longshoremen as well are fighting for a decent contract that will protect their conditions. Joining us this morning from Berkeley is Jack Heyman. He's a retired member of ILW Local 10 and with the Transport Workers Solidarity Committee. And from Puerto Rico, San Juan, Puerto Rico, is Jose Ojeda. He's with ILA 1575 of Puerto Rico and is involved in negotiations for their contract. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Now, Ojeda, you have been involved in negotiations for your members in San Juan, Puerto Rico. They're members of the ILA. What are the conditions and issues that face longshoremen on the East Coast and your members?
Well, the East Coast, our union has, it has various different types of contracts. It has a basic contract of salary, wage, and scale that is settled by New York, the central office of the main, the central office of our union is in New York, and there they handle wage scale. They also handle the amount of money that are contributed to our welfare and pension funds. What the ILA does not really do, and it's something that needs to be addressed, is that the ILA does not address the health and safety issues of its workers who work in an industry that cannot get anybody to provide us with a long-term disability because it is a high-risk industry. So our issues are basically salary benefits because the cost of medical plans are going up, and because since not enough money is being contributed contributed to our pension, the locals that are not in the New York metropolitan area are the ones that are most affected in terms of the possibility of losing the levels of pension that we're in now. If you hear any noises, because I'm in the dock, you know. But those are basically the issues that that we face here, and it is a very serious situation because when your funds are not solvent, you're taking the risk of your pension and your medical plans becoming inferior to the needs of the workers and their families.
And we're speaking with Jose Ojeda. He's with ILA 1575 in Puerto Rico on the docks in Puerto Rico, talking about the struggle that longshoremen face there. And recently a tentative contract was announced. Are you going to see copies of that contract? And were you being informed about what was going on as far as negotiations?
Well, to tell you the truth, the Committee of 20 who negotiated the contract agreed with the arbitrator not to publicly make any statements about what was agreed upon and not agreed, which may be good in terms of like how that agency works, but it doesn't really sit well with us, because how can all of the members of the different committees on negotiation in Puerto Rico or New York or New Jersey or Jacksonville or all over up and down the East Coast all the way to Houston, how can we know or approve or support when we have no information about the particulars that have been settled between the ILA and the industry, you know, and the Maritime Commission or the Maritime Company?
Okay, thank you, Jose. And also, we have Jack Heyman. Jack, why don't you talk about an update, what's going on in the Northwest and the grain elevator negotiations, and what has happened as a result of the EGT contract, which many may be familiar with. This was a company that basically imposed very draconian conditions on ILW members in grain.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
I think most of the Bay Area listeners are aware of the struggle that's been going on in Longview, Washington. There are four major grain companies that control 90% of the grain in the world. Archer Daniels Midland. That's what they call them, the A, B, C, D. So the A is Archer Daniels Midland. B, Bunge. Bunge is the company that we had the struggle with up in Longview, Washington for the last couple years. C is Cargill, and D is Louis Dreyfus. Those four monopolies control 90% of the grain in the world today. And the EGT struggle turned into a fiasco where the rank and file, kind of like what Jose was explaining, was kept in the dark. They actually had a contract imposed on them because they never had the opportunity to vote on it. And so that contract now is being used as a paradigm, a model for the next round of negotiations, which is going on now with all of the other grain companies. They want the same concessions that EGT got. EGT is the conglomerate that was formed by Bunge in Longview. And Cargill is about to conclude a contract with the union. Now, the membership was so much in an uproar over the EGT contract and the fact that they never had a chance to read it before basically it was imposed on them.
So are you saying that the ILW members in the Northwest were voted for a contract that they actually did not see the language of?
That's pretty much how it happened, yeah. And, you know, the difference between the ILWU on the West Coast and the ILA on the East Coast is that we've always prided ourselves on being a democratic and militant union, and very different than what we saw the ILA as on the East Coast. But apparently it's coming around full circle. We used to be part of the ILA and split from that union because of the reactionary leadership. But now, apparently, the ILWU is attempting to keep information from its membership about negotiations. So
now on these grain elevators that these longshoremen, now ILW longshoremen, are working on at EGT, I understand they're working 12-hour shifts, and they have very serious health and safety concerns?
That's right, 12-hour shifts. But that's not the worst of it. The basis of our power is the union hiring hall. We lost that. The company is allowed to pick whoever they want. They have their special lists. The Taft-Hartley was codified into our contract. This is an anti-labor act that we've always fought. The control of the loading of the ship is done through a console, and that now is in the hands of management. Probably the worst thing is that we've always had strong picket line language. People here in the Bay Area know that because we've had picket lines against apartheid ships coming in from South Africa. We've taken action against the Chilean junta and refused to load bombs there. Picket line language is important for us, not just respecting other people's picket lines, but our own. And we've lost that. So it's a terrible loss for the union, and what's worse is that all these other grain companies are trying to get that same contract, and Cargill, as I just said, is about to conclude a contract with the union. It will definitely have to be voted on by the membership because they're outraged by what's happened so far. Cargill has a clause in their contract that's called the most favored nation. So whatever the other companies negotiate, if Cargill's is less favorable to the employers, Cargill can then turn around and ask for the same contract that the other companies have. So just very briefly, what we're faced with is, in the Northwest right now, the employers imposed a concessionary contract, much like EGT. The workers voted 94% to oppose that contract. They were then directed to work under that contract after the employers declared an impasse and said they were going to lock them out if they didn't go to work. The leadership directed the members to go to work. But there's a seething anger under the surface. Right now, Workers are getting fired up in the Northwest, working on these atrocious and unsafe conditions. Five ILWU longshoremen in Vancouver, that's the port of the president of the ILWU, the home port of Bob McElrath. Five were fired over safety issues. The union is directing them not to file grievances on this. Huh. And across the river in Portland, two times the workers on the ships at Columbia Grain have walked off in protest action.
Okay, we're speaking with Jack Heyman. He's retired ILWU Local 10 member. And also on the line is Jose Ojeda from ILA 1575 from Puerto Rico. Jose, these seem like very serious attacks on ILWU members. Do you see the need for ILWU and ILA members to start working together and uniting together?
Yeah, it's been my position for the last couple of years that we need to go back to the time where both contracts are resolved at the same time, because trying to do this individually only opens up new avenues for management to look for ways to break down the union. Because they lately, for the last, 50, 60 years, they've been able to keep playing one side. Well, I got this concession from the ILA, I get this concession from the IWU, you know. And so, therefore, the warehouse union and the ILA are the same thing. They deal with the most important industry in the U.S. because the lifelines of any country are its maritime ability to get out cargo and bring in cargo. And these are industries that are high risk in terms of, like, fatalities. We had 18 deaths in longshoring jobs last year. This is serious stuff. Yet our union leaders do not put our health and well-being as a major part of any contract. Practically, that all these unions, all these locals within these unions, are being forced to resolve and settle and negotiate health and safety issues individually instead of as a group, where we would have the power to make sure that, you know, safety, good insurance for our members would be a priority. But it just seems to be a struggle to try to keep their bureaucratic salaries.
Okay.
It's really bad.
We're speaking with Jose Ojeda, ILA 1575 from the docks of Puerto Rico, and Jack Heyman, ILWU Local 10. Now, Jack, do you see the potential?
Can I make one more statement?
Yes.
We in Puerto Rico feel that we are equal to any ILA member anywhere. Yet we receive less money for our programs, for our health programs. For many years, the ILA provided an extra contribution to pension to make sure that those pension funds remain solid. And Puerto Rico has always been.
You're kind of breaking up there. Okay, you're working for the same company. I mean, Jack, you seems like that the longshoremen on both coasts need, since they're fighting the same companies, need to really have unified action and have contracts that expire at the same time. Is that the case?
Well, of course it's the case. The common expiration date is something that the unions have strived for. The fact of the matter is, on September 30th, we had a common expiration date. The ILA contract was due to expire, as was the Northwest Grain Agreement. But apparently the president of the ILA, Harold Daggett, at the behest or request of the employers, extended the contract to after Christmas, to December 30th. So when we have the opportunity to line up our forces together, the union bureaucrats undermine that and move the expiration date.
Okay, I want to thank you, Jack, for joining us this morning. We'll cover it again. ILWU Local 10 retired and Jose Ojeda with ILA 1575 in Puerto Rico. Thank you both for joining us this morning.